In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. The readings for this particular liturgy are designed to take us through a journey of human history, up until the time that Christ rises from the dead. In other words, we journey from our first parents, Adam and Eve, we learn of their fall in sin, and we see the mighty things that God has done over and over again to liberate his people from the effects of sin in their lives. This human journey is a journey truly from slavery to freedom. In the garden, Adam and Eve were in direct communication with God. God walked in the garden. There was no divide between them. But through their disobedience, they came to know the difference between good and evil. And because of this disobedience, they became separated from God. What does Scripture mean when it says they knew good and evil? Isn't it true that even before their disobedience, they knew good and evil? Isn't it true that they knew that they were disobeying God? So didn't they already know the difference between good and evil? So why does Scripture tell us that after they disobeyed, then they knew the difference between good and evil? When God knows an object, he knows it not from its attributes, such as its color, or its texture, or its size, or its shape. Rather, God knows the object intimately. When we look at a chair, we see that it's made of wood, that it's brown, that it's hard. But when God sees a chair, he knows every atom that composes that chair. He knows the very trees from which the wood was taken to make the chair. He knows the craftsmen that labored on that chair to make it and form it into what it is. He knows the saw blades that were used to cut the wood. He knows every place that that chair has been. And he knows every person who's ever sat in that chair. You see, he knows that chair completely, and there's nothing hidden or lacking in his knowledge whatsoever. If you think about it, the verb to know is used in many different senses in the English language. But look in the French language, for example. The word to know could be savoir, or it could be connaître. The word savoir might be used to express the idea that you know a fact, or that you know how to do something or to make something. But the word connaître means usually that you know someone or some place, that you have a more intimate knowledge of that thing or that person or that place. So there's a little bit of a distinction there that we don't have in English, and we don't always understand this. But we must try to grasp how it was that Adam and Eve knew good and evil differently before the fall than they did after the fall. Prior to the fall, Adam and Eve understood that eating from the fruit of the tree of knowledge was wrong. This understanding, though, was merely intellectual knowledge. It was theoretical knowledge. It was contained in their minds. But after the fall, they knew disobedience intimately. They knew evil because they had experienced it in their bodies. They perpetrated it. And through their actions, they had become one with the evil that they had done. They knew it because it was now part of who they were. Brothers and sisters, our problem is not that God is angry with us or that he demands payment before he will forgive our sins. He forgives us freely out of his tremendous love for us. Our true problem is that we know evil intimately. It has become part of us, and it is what can ultimately destroy us. And so our God has spent the whole span of the existence of humanity in an effort to separate us from the evil that we took upon ourselves and to render us once again 100% good. He ardently desires to restore us to innocence. Psalm 103 tells us that as far as the east is from the west, that is how far God wants to remove our sins from us. And that is precisely what he does in forgiveness. He forgives, and then Scripture says that he casts the memory of our sins into the depth of the ocean. This is an important point to remember. God knows us, and when he looks at us, if he wants to, he can see every sin that we ever committed. But he forgets them. Deliberately, purposefully, he forgets our sins. What a merciful God. Our problem is that we cannot unexperience sin. We cannot liberate ourselves from the evil that we have voluntarily taken into our being, the evil that we ourselves have perpetrated. So while God does forgive and forget, how do we liberate ourselves from the stain of this experience of sin that remains within us? Revelation chapter 21 reads, "The one who sits upon the throne says, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" St. Paul tells us today in the epistle that we are to be made anew. The work that Christ did on the cross was to make all things new. In 2 Corinthians, we're told that God made the one who did not know sin, Christ, to become sin for us, so that God's righteousness would be produced in us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. For by his wounds, we have been healed." In his union with humanity, Christ, who never sinned, nonetheless experienced sin. On the cross, he bore the weight of our sins. Then he took them to the grave, and he rose again, triumphant over both death and sin. Then he gave us this wonderful day of celebration. And today we celebrate because our Lord rose, but we also celebrate today because we too are meant for resurrection. When these bodies are made new again in the resurrection, they will rise anew without the stain of sin. Our new bodies will be as though we had never sinned. What a mighty and awesome God we serve, who has opened the door to heaven and newness of life in the resurrection which is to come. The question is, brothers and sisters, are we building our bodies as temples of God, that will rise again on the last day? Or are we spiritually dead and living away from God and apart from His power to make us new again? Through the intercession of our Mother, who stood at the foot of the cross, may we prepare for our own resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.